What is waiting ahead for me and the rest of mankind? Fear not tomorrow. God is already there. He's charting the course you take. He sees each hidden snare. He's waiting. Troubled or things to come? Is your future unsure? Are you dreading the coming dawn? A long day to endure. Fear each burden and care. Fear not tomorrow. God is already there.
Amen. What a wonderful thought it is that God holds tomorrow, and we don't have to worry. Sister Esther, I didn't know you could get up to those high notes like that. That was just wonderful. Brother Joe's told me that you sing just like your mom. So if your mom sang like that, that was beautiful. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. How many are ready for the word? Amen. Let's sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, as Brother Wade comes. Key of F. Sing the chorus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for His wonderful face, and the things of the world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Sing it like this. Keep your eyes upon Jesus.
Oh, keep your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonder.
Bless you, buddy. Good job.
And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory.
Sing it to Him one more time. If you come tonight, you'll see Him.
Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
And the things of this world will grow strange.
Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's who we come to see tonight. We didn't come to see each other, right? You'll get real disappointed if you come just to see people. We all have our fallacies and our ins and our outs and our quirks, but God doesn't. He's good all the time. Amen. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Thank you all for your prayers and all the ones that took over while I was taking a little R&R, and Lord supplied me with my best deer to this date, so that's good. Thank you, Lord, for that. Appreciate it. That thing dressed 220 pounds, and I told David, the boy that was up there with me, he's 70 years old, and I said, you know, we were struggling with this big old deer, and I looked at him. I said, David, you know, there's 132 years of people down here trying to get this deer out of the woods. It's only me and you. He was 70 and I'm 62. So it's just a struggle when you get older, just to walk, much less try to get a heavy deer out of the woods. But God had that deer die right at a tree that was growing like this. So we just hoisted it up the tree with the Polaris and drove the Polaris under it and set it on it and come on. So I appreciate your prayers. Thank you for taking care of Brother Andrew Glover. He did a wonderful job this weekend. And we appreciate him for that. And I want to say Brother Bob will be preaching next Wednesday night from a week from today, or a week from tomorrow, actually. And y'all all have a happy Thanksgiving. Eat a lot of turkey. Whatever you do, see your family. See somebody. See your family. Church family doesn't matter, too. You see them, but see your natural family. We've had so many reports of shining the light. You know, we want to give this message to everybody. We just think everybody ought to take it and everybody ought to see it like we see it. But remember, Brother Brown said that preaching the sermon's not it, it's living one. And we've seen in the past few months how that our little light that shines out of this sanctuary through you has portrayed into other people that said they really wanted to be a part of that, a part of the not exclusion, but, you know, let God exclude the people. Let's not do it ourselves. You never know. You never, ever know who's watching. And the ones that are watching sometimes are watching to refute, but when they find nothing to refute, what do they do? What do? They say, oh, man, this must be real. These people must really live what they preach. And I was thinking about it while I was in Illinois that, you know, it's just, it all comes down to your foundation. It all comes down to your foundation. Everything is built on a foundation. This, even the Empire State Building is built on a foundation. So we're built on a foundation, all right? And we were built here on the foundation of the Word of God. And then let's let that out. Let your light so shine, the Bible says, to the world. All right, so now, remember this coming, man, it's already December. This coming weekend will be just normal weekend. But on December the 3rd, there'll be no Bible study. December the 4th will be the church dinner. We'll have one service here. And then we will go down to Hidden Acres and have a catered meal there. And if you have gifts and all to give, can do that. Rachel, what did y'all do last year? Did y'all do gifts here with your Sunday school class and then go down there? It's been a year. You're the youngest one. I'm trying to ask you first. Monica. Don't remember. Don't ask me. So anyway, we'll talk about it. We'll either do the gifts here for the – usually we do Sunday school here, but we can do them there too. It doesn't matter. But we're going to have a day. We've got it there until like 5 or 6 o'clock, so we've got plenty of time. And if y'all want to put on a little play or something, that would be fine. But we only have one service on December the 4th and have the church dinner. Remember, December the 10th, that's on a Saturday, we'll have a prayer service here again like we've been doing before – special meeting. So the special meeting is going to be, it will be not just only Watch Night service, but it will be the Friday and Saturday of Watch Night weekend, because we won't have service on Sunday. Brother Wayne Lawson is going to be with us on Friday and Saturday. So that'll be the 30th and the 31st. And we appreciate your prayers for that. Be 7 o'clock on Friday, 8 o'clock on Saturday. All right. Everybody with me on that? But we'll have a prayer service here. And for those of you that have not been that want to come, it's not a social event. We're not going to put the coffee pot on. We're not going to talk about deer hunting. We're not going to talk about, we're going to come in and pray. You and God need to talk to each other. So we're going to set aside that time for you to come and pray and then just slip out. We'll have music on. Just slip out and head on down to the house. All right, and whoever's the last one here, we lock up usually and go on home. But it's a time of prayer. You say, well, I can pray at home. That's okay, but this is an effort. It's an effort to come here. But I get a lot out of that hour or so that we're here. And you should too. Amen? Pray and read your Bible. Isn't that what Brother Brown said? Pray and read your Bible. Get closer to God. All right? So that will be on December the 10th on Saturday. December 25th, we'll not have any service. That will be Christmas Day, and it'll be on Sunday. December the 30th and 31st at 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock, we'll have Brother Wayne Lawson with us. And then I talked to, just for heading on into January, Brother Darrell Ward's going to be with us the last weekend when y'all get back from Central America. When y'all get back from Central America, we'll have a youth service that Saturday and Sunday, that last weekend in January. Brother Darrell Ward will be with us, all right? So let's just keep those things in prayer. So you love the Lord? Amen. I love His Word. I love to just meditate on His Word and to hear what He has to say to the bride of Jesus Christ. He's trying to get the world to see. And you know what He's going to get them to see through? Not that Bible right there. He's going to get them to see through you. Amen. Good or bad? Good or bad? Come on, folks. Good or bad? Amen. They're looking at us all the time, our kids and our aunts, our uncles, our in-laws. They're all watching to see. As Brother Ram said one time, me and Brother Claude was talking about it yesterday, people are now coming into church services, and they're looking online and watching services of Brother Branham's to refute. Brother Ram said it would be in the end time. It wouldn't be that you'll sit down in a church service to get something. It's people be sitting down to refute what you're saying. Try to find something wrong with it, you know. There wasn't 12 men fell off of a bridge. So they just wipe off the whole 1,100 sermons. But they don't understand that when a man stands up and says, if God doesn't meet me here, I'm a false prophet. And he'll stand there and 20 or 30 people, he'll tell them where they were, what size clothes they wear, what house number. Well, they were on the telephone yesterday, and he sat there and just poured their life out. They're going to have to meet. They won't meet Brother Branham, folks. They'll meet Jesus Christ, because that's who Brother Branham was trying to present. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening you've given us, Lord. I pray that you just be with us. Give us a wonderful service in you, Father, being here now in the middle of the week. Everybody's getting ready to travel and do different things for Thanksgiving. Lord, I pray that we should give you Thanksgiving every day for the things you've done for us. You've given us life. You've given us homes. You've given us jobs. You've given us time to have our, as the world would say, it gives us time to have our a little rest and relaxation and hobbies that we do. Lord, I thank you for letting us do that. But, Lord, your word is the most important. So we've come today, Lord, to hear from you, Father. I pray that you'd be with the ones that are sick, be with Brother Dale and all the different ones, Brother Mike Ulte, the ones that are mending, Lord, and getting better, Father. We pray that you'd be with them. Bless the little bride around the world, Father. Bless the missionaries in the foreign fields. Be with them, Lord. Give them fruit for their labor, Father. They labor way more than we do, Lord. But we need to pray for them more and more as the day approaches where they're not going to be able to get out and deliver the message. Father, let us live this message. Let us be this message. Let it not be paper and pencil and ink, but in the fleshly tables of our heart. Lord, just be with us and further in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, remember, the last time we spoke, we spoke on the power of your thoughts. And I hope you got something a little bit about that. So we're going to come back together now and into Who Is This Son of Man, Part 70. And we're going to look at a few things as far as what did we leave, because we left something. We left something. Jude tells us that we left that first faith. We left, Thyatira, you left your first love, Ephesians, you left this, you took a name that you shouldn't have took. There's all these things you messed up, that we all messed up with, and we did it, not God, but he allowed it to happen, what, to prove that he's right. To prove that his word is right, and he did have a bride in every church age that he sealed away under their messenger. They got the message, they got the revelation. So same way with me and you. We got to get the revelation of this message, but it has to go that we go back to the faith of the fathers. Pick up the correct interpretation of the word and bring it forward to where Brother Branham was then say, he said, it's not in the years of preparation, not in these years of the, in other words, the prayer lines and all these things. He said, it's in the opening of the word, the seven seals, opening of the seals. Bring it up higher to bring it up to what? The statue of a perfect man where the capstone is, not just the building part. All right. We're at the part where the cap's going to fit down over everything that we do and everything that we are. It's going to fit on something. Because the capstone's coming, folks. He's not just, well, you can pray all you want to. Lord Jesus is coming, and he's coming in a people. You can hinder it if you want to, and I'm just saying for everybody, we can all, and we do hinder it. What we're trying to do is what? Shed that off, think right, the power of your thoughts. You think right, you get right with God, and we'll get the right, Brother Brown said, the right mental attitude toward any promise. Boy, wow. The right mental attitude toward any promise of God. Will bring it to pass. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That is the Son of Man. That is God in human flesh. Everybody with me on that? That is him. But he what? Now she is him. So now you and I are going to take over that part and be that what? Full of grace and truth. We're going to be the ones that dwelt among us. See, God's among us now. He's among us in his people. All right? So God's among us. Every time we assemble together, we get people together, God's in the midst. God's doing the work. 1 Thessalonians says that every one of you should know how to put, every one of us. You can't stop. You stop God, but you can't. You say, well, I've been in this message 30 years, and I just don't understand nothing. Well, you know what? You just said the little word, you. Don't understand nothing. You stopped it somewhere. Because you can look back, and if you want to start a checklist or whatever you want to start, like I said before, you know, you start with coming to church and you then doing the things of God and reading your Bible and studying. We all need to do that. We all need to do that. But there comes a point in time where that becomes part of us. Not a struggle to get to it. It's because Jesus never struggled being God. Right, right. Amen. Never did he struggle. Never did he stand up and go, I just ain't going to be God today. He said, I only do that what the Father shows me. I only do that what the Father shows me. You say, well, we can't do that with a carnal mind. It says you can, because we need what? A renewing of our mind, as we're going to read here in a minute. That, but it says that every one of you, so Paul didn't exclude anybody. In Thessalonians, he didn't exclude no one. He said that every one of you should know how to possess your vessel. I can't possess your vessel. Preacher can't possess your vessel. You can allow God to possess your vessel through the speaking of the word, but it has to be by the Holy Ghost. It can't be by a person. It's got to be by the Holy Ghost that knows how to possess his vessel in what? Sanctification and honor. Romans 12:2, and then you can sit down. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. You're going to prove one way or the other if you're of God or you're of the devil. You're going to prove it. All right. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You may be seated. The Lord has blessing to the reading of his word. And I want to clear something up a little bit. As we've been talking about heart and the different things, we're not ever talking about, when God talks about the heart of man, it's not this thing right here. Boom, boom, boom. It's the core, the apple, the core. It's the core, it's the center, it's the heart of the apple. So it's the heart that we're talking about. The soul is what we're talking about, but it is the heart of you. It is your heart. It is your being. Now, when your being leaves your body, that thing that's thumping quits working. Everybody with me? So that's not the important part. We're going to read Paul where we talk about, where he talks about warring against that flesh. But you don't war if you're born again. You don't worry about, you don't war in your soul. That's what I've been trying to get. You must, if you're born again, you can't, there's no way you can fall. There's no way you can worry about your soul if you're born again. It's God. It's perfect. But we were born in sin, so we have another section that we have to deal with, which is a spirit being called memory, reason, conscience, affection, and imagination. All right? Now, what did Jesus say in Matthew 12, verse 34? He said, oh, generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Now, he's talking about, now look, he says, how you, being evil, speak good things. They did everything right in the church. The whole world was deceived by him, except one man. Right? Caiaphas was the man. He was the one we depended on. If you were a Jew, you depended on Caiaphas to go into that Holy of Holies, sprinkle it seven times, and make sure that our sins were forgiven. And that was Caiaphas. And we put everything on Caiaphas, the high priest. He would come out and he said, okay, your sins are forgiven. Well, then you got Jesus standing there saying, you're a viper. Because he saw into the heart of the people. Right. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the cardia, the cardiologist, the cardiac, your heart, your soul, the mouth speaketh. Yes. Right. Think about how we used to speak. I'm sorry, but you know, if you didn't have a filthy mouth, then you still was lost. Right. Come on, somebody. You still was lost. We ain't know how good. Well, I only cursed three times in my life. You cursed four, I'm better than you are. No, that don't mean one thing. Amen? I would say Peter, being an old fisherman, I'm sure he probably said some words a little awkward before he got born again. But Jesus said, Satan is going to sift you like sand, Peter, but I prayed for you. Well, you know what? Satan's going to sift us like sand, but God prayed for us. In St. John 17, God prayed a prayer that we would make it. That we would be one as he and the Father are one. I was, I don't know where I was at. I was somewhere preaching. Oh, it was here, and we had visitors here. And when I was talking about us being oneness, and, you know, we bash the oneness, and we bash the Trinity, and we're a bunch of two-ness. You know, Jesus over there, and we're over here. We can't get over there, and we're not good enough to be over there. St. John 17 says, let us be one, as my Father in heaven's one. Well, was it two? No, it was one. That's why we haven't come to realization, because our carnal mind still takes over, still tells us that we're unworthy, that we're lost, that we can't get it, we can't make it. Listen, if God is God, I was thinking about this the other day. Before the foundation of the world, obviously, he knew what was going to happen. Right? And he let it happen. He didn't make it happen. He laid the canvas out. And he put man down here on that canvas and said, here, take care of it. But he knew as soon as he made Satan that the whole thing was going to mess up. But he continued and let him do it. He's let us live our life. He knew we were going to fall. He knew we were going to stumble. He knew we were going to be lost. But he knew that one day we'd come to a realization that we needed him. And then what would he do? He filled us then with the Holy Ghost. Not that we walked around with it all of our life. The things I did, the Holy Ghost was nowhere to be found. Oh, yeah, he was there. He was there, but he wasn't proud to be anywhere close to where I was at. I don't know about y'all. Sometimes y'all look at me like I'm just real bad and y'all real good, so that's okay. Maybe y'all never went through these things. I don't know. But I did, and I'm just honest enough to tell you about it. But look at verse 35. Look, a good man out of the good treasure. We're going to look at that in just a few minutes. Out of the good treasure. I looked at word up, treasure. All right, so, and he says that, Bible says it twice. So we need to watch what's saying. Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of the soul. May we say that? Because he's not talking about the heart. He's talking about the soul. A good man out of the good treasure of his soul bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his soul bringeth forth evil things. That's why we were evil. We were lost. We were undone. We did the things of the world. Why? Something inside of us made us do it. And we just said, okay. Why? Because we had a carnal mind. Now, watching 2 Corinthians 4, I thought we'd read some scriptures tonight, being Tuesday night, middle of the week, not so much as teaching, but read some scriptures. Watch this. But if our gospel, look, being hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Okay? If our gospel be hid, Paul said, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, he's talking to the Corinthians. Everybody with me here. And whom the god of this world, now that's little g. So the god of this world is who? Satan. And whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds. Not the hearts. The minds. You can be born again and your mind be blinded. Come on, somebody. Martin Luther, his soul never had a Trinitarian idea, but his mind did. His mind was affected by Satan. I'm sorry. Yeah, he was a church age messenger. But God never in no way preached a Trinitarian doctrine through Martin Luther. But now, since we've come back to the faith of the fathers, where they didn't teach it either, that's why we had to come back to it and get these major doctrines down right. I was talking to Brother Claude last night. We were talking about the church age book. I cannot see how anybody in this message cannot use a church age book to further your walk with God. That church age book has got every major doctrine of the Bible, and everything you need is in that church age book. But they call it a woman's book just because she typed it up. Anyway, I don't see how you can tell. That is a very vital part. You know, we don't agree with that. We use the church age book all the time. Actually, one brother we were hunting with years ago, and he said, that's just a woman's book. Lee Vail wrote it, and this and that and the other and that and the other. And I said, well, brother, I started to call his name. I said, brother, I said, my daddy's preaching tomorrow. I said, you better hold on to your seat. He's going to read at least one quote out of that church age book. He read four. And the brother in the back was sitting beside me, and I poked him. I said, told you what he's going to do. I said, that church age book's important, or you can't preach the full message of the hour without that church age book. We don't need to give out seal books yet. We need to give out church age books. We need somebody to learn the foundation, the doctrinal issues. All right? If you don't have your doctrine right, that's why Brother Brown, he had to come to get the doctrine right right? The foundation, right? So that Zerubbabel can build this mountain of 1,100 sermons that you and I are supposed to listen to. And so then that the cap could fit on top of all that, which is the culmination. It's just Jesus Christ all the way up, but it's now going to be in its fullness. And where you and I, listen, you're not going to fight with your soul as much as you used to. Now, there's going to be a fight. Brother Bram said you're going to be sticky till the end, but it's going to be less and less. I just believe that. Because what's keeping us now is our carnal mind that's saying, I don't know if I can do that or not. I don't know if I'm good enough to do that or not. I even say that. Brother Dale says it. Everybody does. You got that little thing that's in your mind, that little one little point. Body change? I don't know if I can do that or not. Well, if you don't, you won't. But you got what? The power of your thoughts. Think on these things. If you think on what the world says, we were up there hunting this week, and there's a guy there that he's a nominal Christian guy. And he was talking about wearing masks and, you know, being under a COVID thing. He lives in Colorado. And he said, I walked into whatever it was, and they were that, whatever that county was, you had to wear a mask. It didn't matter if you was inside the house, you know. So David goes through CV line in CVS to get some medication or something, and he don't have a mask on. And he said, they're going, what are you doing trying to kill us? He looked at him. He said, you all going to die anyway. So you're going to die sometime. So, but that's the world. The world says, okay, we live, we're born, we live, and we die, right? Through the ages, it's always born, live, and die. Something's got to break. That chain's got to break in there somewhere, because there's got to be a group of people that says, that's not going to happen to me. And it doesn't matter if you're 80 or 90 years old. You say, well, I ain't got no chance. I'm older than everybody else. That doesn't have one thing to do with it. Abraham was 99 years old when God changed his body. Hello, somebody. Boy, you ought to make you shout. We ain't all 99 yet, Sister Cleta. I said, yeah. But if our gospel be hid, it's him to them that are lost. Let's get through this. And who, look, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's what I was just talking about. That light's going to shine through me and you. It's going to shine. What is the image of God? There it is right there. That's the image of God that we've got to get to. All right? And you say, well, I can't. Who's made it? Well, there's been a lot of people in the first three church ages had all of these virtues working in their life. So it should be not so hard for us to just read the Bible and see the virtues working in the book of Acts and Corinthians and Romans and all the different ones. Everybody with me? All right? See, that's why we're pushing it. Well, that was for them. No. Jude says, I'll read in just a few minutes, that we got to get back to that faith that was once delivered to the saints. All right? And whom the God of this world is blind. But see that what it is? So what's Satan doing? He's making you believe you can't do it. Because can God tell you you can't make it? He'd be a liar. Everybody. He wanted everybody to be saved. Anybody can make it. Adolf Hitler could have made it if he'd have given his life to Christ. Okay. All right. So we're there. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Watch this. For we preach not ourselves. I was talking about, remember the other day. We don't put ourselves above anybody. We are servants. We serve the people. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, what? Your servants, for Christ's sake. All right? And then Paul stands up one day and says, you'll be judged by my gospel. Well, what gospel is that? It wasn't Paul's gospel. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, so he commanded it, so it's going to happen, hath shined in our, what? Hearts. In our soul. If you're born again, the light of God is not shining in your soul. It is your soul. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What? These virtues. Paul didn't know how to call them virtues, but he's preaching the virtues right here. Because watch this. But we have this treasure. We have this treasure. That's the second time treasure is used. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. All right, now watch. What does that word treasure mean? The place in which good and precious things are collected and laid up. A casket, a coffer, or other receptacle in which valuables are kept. You know, you don't put in I've got a safe at home, and pretty much all of you got a safe or something somewhere. And you go out and you buy this plastic cutlery. It's what we use at the hunting camp because we don't want to wash dishes. I tell them I'll wash the plates and the knives and the forks because they're all plastic and I just throw them in the trash. But that's us. But anyway, but Brother Donnie, I know you got one and a safe. And do you have any of that in there? Are you putting, now you might want to put toilet paper in there the way it was a couple of years ago. But basically, you're not going to put a plastic fork and a plastic knife. You're not going to store up that kind of treasure because it's not valuable. It has no value. And it's not something you want to protect. We want to get rid of that. We want to protect what's dear and valuable to us. Now, listen, when we were out in the world, we did value other things. But that value we put on them is what killed us. This value that we're talking about here is going to save us. Look down there at number 1C. Brother Branham had a vision about a what? A storehouse. A storehouse. And you know what? You can look at it as a storehouse, as a building, but I'm looking at it as me. That inventory that he preached in 1,100 sermons, you can put them in this building right here in tape form and digital form, and it will do nothing but just burn when the world's being burned over. But once it comes inside of me and you, there's your storehouse. Because you gather up your treasure, storehouse, repository, the things laid up in a treasury, collected treasures. You know, you come to church and you say, well, I didn't get anything much, but maybe later on, if you keep meditating on God, God will come to you and that thing will fit right together. That's a treasure you hold on to. Listen, if you've ever had a revelation, it can't get away from you. You might not remember the whole detail of it, but you can tell that it changed you. It made you read the Bible different. It made you read, you know, when we were in other churches, maybe, may I say, and we read about the seed doctrine, and we heard preachers preach about this, and we heard preachers preach at Daniel 70 weeks. There was only 3.5 years left after the rapture. If they'd just read the Bible, they'd understand it's not. But we stored that up as good food. Everybody with me? We stored that up as good food. People have stored up as good food that Brother Branham's got to come back. Oh, he'll come back all right. He'll come back. He'll ride this trail again. But you know what he's going to ride it on? He's going to ride it on mine and your faith to get him out of the ground. So that's the way we got to think. Don't think rapture. Think resurrection. Think destroying death. But that's what we got. But we store these things up. But what happened was we had a preacher come by. Brother Dale started preaching. We started listening to some of his tapes or listening to his seals and different things, you know, that these good ministers is preaching. And then what do we do with that that's in our storehouse? We tossed it out. It wasn't good treasure anymore. But Jesus tell us right here, look, he said, but we have this treasure. This treasure, what treasure is it? Go back and read. Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's mine and your mandate. When we become up the statue of prayer, or go up the statue of perfect man, that's what it is. It's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. It's not just that knowledge right there. It's the knowledge of virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. That you have a knowledge of it. That you store it up. And, you know, it's kind of like a hard drive. It's in there and it's spinning around. And you may not need this certain file, but it's still there, right? But what happens is you click on that certain file and it pulls up that information. Doesn't pull up everything. Pulls up that information and then it puts it out on the screen for you to read it. That's the same way God is. You got it stored in there somewhere, but listen, you got to hear it first. You got to hear it first. You can't just come up with these ideas on your own. Brother Brown didn't come up with these ideas on his own. He got them from the Bible. All right? So that's why I put my faith in what? The Bible. He didn't say face, final, resting places in Brother Brown's message. Brother Brown said face, final, resting places in the Word of God. That's why I said you can take all these major doctrines and you got to take it back to the Bible, and Brother Brown can't say anything any different than the Bible. All right? So you got to base it on the Bible. What did the Bible say? 70 weeks are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant for 1 week. Who? That's the Antichrist. We're going to be gone, so there's 1 week left. You figure that out. Now, you can't change the Bible. You can't change the Bible to fit a quote. You got to change the quote to fit the Bible. Everybody with me? That's that storing up that we've been storing. Listen, somebody in this world is going to store up good food. No rotten food at all. Good food and going to what? That's going to sustain them to a resurrection. Amen. Sustain them to a body change. It's going to sustain us because what? We took these treasures and we've held them, what? In steel and mortar? It says earthen vessels right here. Clay. The frailty of man. Because you can take a clay pot and you can just hit it just a little bit and what does it do? It falls apart. Right? It falls apart. There's nothing to it. But God decided to put it in that earthen vessel. He decided to do that and use it as the greatest weapon against the devil. Which is what? Overcoming you. And having your flesh not cursed like it used to. Not flesh, but what your outlet of your memories and constant affection to do the things you used to do. Things I used to do, I do them no more. But a storehouse, a repository, magazine, the things laid up in a treasury, collected treasure. Every time you come to church, what? You're collecting a treasure, putting it in your storehouse. And Brother Brown said it was good food. Oh, big apples and oranges and big, you know, it wasn't just like he didn't walk in and the vision didn't have, well, I think that's that box of cheese over in the corner. That's one apple. No, he said the thing was full of good food. That's what this word is. It's full of good food if we'll what? If we'll eat it. Everybody with me? We got to get this down before we can head toward the Son of Man revelation. We got to get this Son of God revelation. We've got to have the virtues working in our life because that's what God's coming to. Okay? And I didn't make it. I didn't make that the rule. God did. So in the statue of perfect man, Brother Brown says, as we've said many times before, the first thing you got to do, you got to be born again. All right? You got to be born again. Now you get born again and what? You got to be changed. Okay? And it's going to show on the outside eventually. Mom and Dad, years and years ago, Brother Mike Altig came to the church here, and of course when it was a little building. Mama said, I'm sure Sister Janet won't mind if I tell it, said she had her hair was cut off as short as a man's and had big old earrings, you know, and a short dress. But they had just come into the message. Well, what you do is, though, you look at her a month later and here she's dressed. You don't. Brother Brown's, you know, he talks about hair. He said, if you're a born-again believer, your hair is just as long as somebody that's never cut their hair. It's just got to keep growing out. It's just something that you've got to do, right, with your flesh. So that, listen, I told the girl that's right beside of us, and she's a hairdresser. I said, Jeannie, I said, if people live by the Bible, you'd go out of business. You'd cut some men's hair, but you'd never cut a woman. She just kind of looked at me like that, you know, and I said, no. I said, you know it in the Bible. You're sitting there with short hair. You know it in the Bible. It's in the Bible not to cut the hair, but you sit there and cut their hair. And I mean day in and day out, 10 and 15 people a day, mostly women. And what is it common for this world to do? Cut their hair. Right? It's just common. I mean, it's just, you're weird if you don't. But you don't know. They're weird. Because they're not doing what the Bible says. So, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. Common salvation. In other words, foundational truth. All right? common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you. This is Jude writing. And exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He could look back and see Peter, James, John, the different ones, the founders, the cornerstone of the church. There they were. They had these gifts working in their life. And Jude's going, in other words, let's put it in 2020. Jude walks into a message church and there's no gifts working. People are living any way they want to. There's no virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness. Jude's like, come on, man, y'all have missed something somewhere. He said, but you need to earnestly contend to get back to that. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered. So listen, that faith is here. Because if it was once delivered to the saints, God don't change. Whatever he requires of them, that's what he requires of us. God worked down through the church ages through partial revelation. But when you get to Peter, James, and all them, and Paul, not one thing Paul said was wrong. Come on, somebody. Not one thing Paul preached was wrong. Why can't we get to that? Nothing he preached was wrong. I'll read to you in just a minute. Remember, Philetus and Hymenaeus, he called her name in the Bible. Philetus and Hymenaeus, he said, they're preaching that the resurrections already took place. Right? And you know where they got it from? Paul. Paul was the prophet of the day. So I don't think it's so strange, Brother Darnie, that people around here today, not here, around the message doing the same thing. Well, Brother Brown said, well, Paul said, there's already been a resurrection. He was talking about an out resurrection. He's talking about an inside resurrection. But Philetus and Hymenaeus go to their church and their little, I'm not going there, their little camp, the little group that they huddle all up in, and they're preaching Paul's message, but preaching it wrong. You should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, for there are certain men, men, not man, men, preachers. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Now, unawares means they didn't know they was in the congregation yet. Come on, somebody. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness, which is horrible. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God he gave us Ephesians 4:11. He gave us a perfect fivefold ministry that could take us on, that could get us out of what our differences. And get us what? Get us up to the stature of perfect man. Get us to that Son of God revelation to where, listen, folks, it ought to be in your heart. If you're going to be a Christian, why you want to be a Christian and just be that? Is there not a desire in your heart when you've got a dad, and I'm included in this, you got a dad that's sitting at home that's sick as a dog, 100 and something degree fever, and can't hardly think and can't hardly get out of a chair, and there I am, supposedly a born-again believer, that has the power to pray for the sick and to see demons cast out of people. And to see chains loose from people's life. And to see the sick healed. The dead raised. That's what happened in the first church age. Amen. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have. And even they believed them so much that they said, if I can just get in the shadow of Paul. If I can just get in the shadow of Peter. They're so godly. Till they just what? That virtue just oozes out of them. And I don't know if that's a good word to use, but I think it's a good word to use. Right. It just oozes out of you. Right. Overflow. That's the kind of thing I want, folks. That's what I want. Now, listen, we can't conquer the world, but I'll guarantee you there's got to be some time when the devil's got to back off to the people of God. There's a time and a place, but it's got to be a time and a place where we can believe that and not have all these other things in our head going, well, I don't know if I need to pray for them or not. Well, heavenly days, you're a Christian. Yes. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Doesn't matter if a woman's got bob hair or no hair.
That's right. That's right.
Human beings are sick. This whole world's sick. I'm not talking about just mentally. Physically, this whole world's sick. COVID's coming back around again. The greatest weapon that I know of a Christian today is a committal to the world. Oh, that doesn't say that. Is a committal to God. The greatest weapon that I know of a Christian today is a committal to God. When you can't do nothing about it, just commit it to Him and God will take care of it. Now, we know the greatest battle ever fought. We know that I believe that the greatest battle that was ever fought is now ready to go into action. I believe that God has been selecting His soldiers. I believe that. I believe He's been dressing them and training them. That's why it took us 60 years to get this message right. I said not get the message right, get us right in the message. Let's put it that way. This message has been right since the foundation of the world. Amen. Right. Actually, before the foundation of the world. Do y'all understand this? This message is not just man's ideas. This message, everything we see and everything we read, the Bible and the 1,100 sermons, and we hear the voice of God speaking to us. That's what our mandate is to listen to the voice of God, not a voice. He's been selecting them. He's been dressing them, training them. And the battlefront is now set, getting ready to start. That was 1962. You know what? That was 311. The seals were preached in that same month. A year later. Brother Brown, a year later, comes back in March and preaches the seals. Comes from the greatest battle ever fought. He knew it was going to be a fight. He knew it was going to be a struggle. What did he say? He said, it's gone from you. It's not for you. Preaches marriage and divorce. He said, thousands of my friends are going to turn me down. And they did. Why? Because he wasn't the normal. Oh, you can do what you want to. It's okay. No. The greatest battle. The battleground begins in the human mind. There is where the battle starts. The human mind was chosen for the place of battle. Where it was begin. And that is because that decisions are made from the mind or the head. Your decision. That's your filter. All right? Even if you got the Holy Ghost, listen, even with the Holy Ghost, you're going to make mistakes. I hope y'all understand that. I hope you don't think that, you know, you see these commercials where they're getting ready to put on some real pretty cologne or some real pretty washing powders and everything smells good, so butterflies go off all over the place and sun shines everywhere and, you know, and you got a rainbow in a cloud, you know, and you're going, oh, this is so good. And then you just fall back in the cloud. That's not going to happen. It's going to be more like a war zone than it is a flowery bed of ease. Isn't that what the Bible says? You know, it's not going to be a flowery bed of ease. But listen, if you'll commit it to God, the committal, commit it to God and let Him do the work. Unless we suffer it with Him, we cannot reign with Him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason this is that character simply is never made without suffering, what I just say. Character is a victory, not a gift. So that what? That's the characteristics of God. So it was what? Even Jesus learned by the things that He what? Suffered. And being made perfect, became the author of salvation to all of us. See, that's hard to swallow because you think, well, He was lost. No, He wasn't lost. He was a human. He had a human brain just like you did. He had a human psyche just like you do. The devil talked to Him as much as God did. Come on. The devil was actually closer. He took Him up on a building, took Him out in the desert, took Him up on a high place and said, here's a vision of the whole world. It's yours if you'll worship Me. Nope, you have to suffer to reign. Character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign because power, apart from character, is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. You think, boy, see, rule. No, rule over yourself. Rule over you. Start with that. Husband, start with that. Wives, rule over yourself. And that will help rule over your children. Why am I against organized religion? Brother Brown said, look, if what is purpose to the church, the life that was in Christ, isn't reflecting in you, don't you stand still. If you haven't got patience, virtue, and all these things, temperance, things, and godliness, brotherly kindness, and all these things that's required of you. It's a requirement. Lauren was telling me, good to have Lauren back with us. It was good. Lauren says she was going to be take this course of criminal justice, and she likes some court. You got, it's a requirement. Are you going to take like chalk drawing? You know, kids on the sidewalk, they take chalk and they draw. That's not part of the curriculum, right? No. That's not required. That may be an elective, but it's not a required course. A required course has to do with the subject matter that you're studying, right? Same way with hair. These things are required of us. They're required of us to be like Peter, James, and Paul. You say, oh, I can't be like Paul. I can well see there. Then you can't. Because it's all in your head. It's all in your head. Listen to this. James 1 verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. One of the best sermons Brother Brown preached in his early ministry was, Why Are Some People Tossed About? Man, that was in the early 50s, and he laid it out. He told them why they were tossed about. They wasn't born again. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, because a double-minded man is unstable in some of his ways. It says all his ways. And that word means wavering, uncertain, doubting, divided in interest. I don't know if I can go to church or not. I think my cat's got diarrhea. Whoever, somebody ever said that before. You know, I mean, you got all these excuses. That's okay. It's all right. Listen, I want to tell you something about that. Because if you're out and you're going on vacation, I'm not talking about people like that. You know, Brother Dale's never said that either. But when you just don't come to church, you're lost. When you just don't come, you have no excuse, and you just, or you have a bunch of them, you know, you're lost. But now if you take a vacation, or like I was gone last week, different things, that's all right. But that's 52 weeks out of the year. If you're gone 50 of them, you're lost. Take a couple of weeks of vacation. Go off somewhere. Be with your husband and wife. Be with your family. Take some time off. When I was not doing anything Sunday, I was watching the service here. Amen? So it's a desire that you have in your heart. Go take time off. Be with your family. But don't say, well, my family's coming in next weekend. I think I'll be with them. And then they come in the next weekend, and you got three brothers, and they're all going to come in separate weekends, and we don't see you for 3 months. That's what I'm talking about. Or your job has just taken you all year, and you're going to be out the whole year, you know. If you're out for your job, that's okay once or twice. But when you use it as an excuse to be out, you're the only one that knows that. You're the only one that knows whether you need to be in church or not. So it's not up to the preacher. It's up to you. I'm fulfilling the word of God. I'm telling you about it. But the right mental attitude, 1951, a prophet of God. Your right mental attitude toward God's divine promise will bring any promise to pass. Any promise. You know what? We take that, I believe, and we put it toward healing. What about salvation? The right mental attitude. God, I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm tormented. I don't know what to do. Right mental attitude. Start making an effort. Read your Bible instead of reading whatever you read before. Remember Brother Branham? He said, if you're stingy, start giving stuff away. Do the vice versa. Now, the prophet of God told us that. Ever how elementary you think that is, he must thought it worked because God had him say it to us. That it's not some great something you got to do. No, it's the power of the right mental attitude. And listen, this is not the power of positive thinking. That's a whole different. They wrote books about that, and you know, you can have that if you want to, but the most positive thing I know of is the Word of God. So if we think on these things, then we do need to think on these things and have the right mental attitude that when you come to church, you're going to get something from God. I mean, really, do we come to church and say, God, I need X, Y, Z. Be specific. I need healing. I got a question about my life. I got a question about my job. I got a question about a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I've got a question about what kind of car to drive or buy. I got a question whether to buy a new house or rent. There's questions. And you say, well, boy, you're going to make God real busy. He ain't never been too busy to answer every question that you got. But you know what? If you'll listen to it. And you know what? You got to ask the question. Now look. Now maybe you don't believe that, Brother Brown said. Now look. You say, well, my faith is weak. I wouldn't confess it. Don't let the devil know that. Always say, I've got good faith. And I know that's hard to do when your temperature is 103 and you're laying in the bed or you're throwing your guts up. It's hard to believe that. But you know what? You got to just keep saying it. Just keep saying it. Just keep saying it. Just keep saying, thank you, Lord. Just keep saying, thank you for my healing. Just say, Lord, I know people are praying for me. It's out on the, you know, on the internet. And I thank God for that because, for that part of it, because real quickly we know if somebody's sick or if somebody's been in a hospital, we know it real quick and we can pray right then. Take that situation to the Lord right there. All right. And take it to him right then, fresh, right then. Because you know who's fresher than you are? The devil is, because he's the one that put it on him. Amen, somebody? So we want God to get there with, we want the prayer angels to be there. We want them to drive all that out. That's what they did in Peter and James and John and all. They didn't have this denominational thing they had to worry about. Of a different idea that God's this and God's that. And you know, Brother Brown meant this and he was wrong here. They didn't have that. Peter stands up one day and he says, you've crucified the Lord of glory. It's your fault. Right? Read the book of Acts. He stands up and he says, this Jesus, whom you've killed, whom you've crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. In other words, now he was inside of Peter. And then 3,000 people were so pricked at their heart, they said, hey, how can we get what you got? How can we? You've told us a little bit about this Jesus. We want to know some more about him. And then you know who got in trouble? Poor old Stephen got in trouble. He preached a wonderful sermon about all the way took him from Moses. You know them big Sanhedrin, they just sitting there going, we know all that. We know about Moses. We know about the Red Sea. But oh, when Stephen got to Jesus, and he said, you crucified him. You destroyed him. It's your fault. That's when they took him out and stoned him. When he told them about Jesus. Have you ever been stoned because of what you believe? Think about that. But I wouldn't confess it. Don't let the devil know it. I always say, I got good faith. I believe God with all my heart. Don't testify nothing of the devil. Queen of Sheba, 1961. Let's hurry through this. I want to get to a point. The first thing I want to find out whether it's the will of God. This is what we were talking about the other day. I thought it worthy to read it again. If you have a situation, this is how Brother Branham, the prophet of God, handled his situations. All right? Everybody with me? All right? The first thing I want to find out is whether it's the will of God or not. Everybody with me right there? That's the first thing. If it's not the will of God, don't go to the next two. Because it's going to be your motive and your objective. But if this was the will of God, it just might fit in the plan of God. But it ain't going to fit in the plan of God if you start off wrong. The next thing is my objective to it and my motive in doing it. Then if it's the will of God and my objective is right and my motive is right, I have faith that it'll be done. Because first, it's the will of God. And my objective is to glorify him. What? With what he's trying to, whatever he's trying to do, is to glorify God, not to glorify himself. And my motive is to give him all the glory. See, there's no selfish motive about it. If you have a selfish motive, it won't work. If your objective is to make money for yourself or something, well, you'll never succeed. And then try to do something outside of the will of God, it's not going to work to begin with. 1963, read this. And I go on record. I say this about the Word of God being a seed. If you can take the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God, He will bring it to pass if you can get yourself in position to believe that that promise was to you. Not to your neighbor. Not to the ones that once had the faith, according to Jude. No. A now faith, as Brother Green preached at one time. Now faith is the substance of things. Now, we need a now faith. Listen, you should not have faith that God's won. You should be past that. That should be so solidified in your soul that you don't wonder about that. Because you know what? If you wonder about something, you don't have faith. Boy, I'm glad y'all got quiet. You think about that. If you have a doubt about something, how can it be faith? Can't be. If you have a, well, I don't know about that. Maybe there is two or three or because listen, people fight you over a Trinity. Because that's what they what? That's what they built their treasure on. That's what they put in their storehouse. That they think God's going to honor that, but God cannot honor false word. Never can and never will. He can wink at your ignorance for a time. But remember what I said about ignorance. It's not wrong to be ignorant. But if you stay ignorant long enough, it comes to stupid. And when it gets to stupid, you're in trouble. All right? Because ignorant would be, I don't have one clue about criminal justice, and Lauren's just got a head full of it over there. But if I say, well, I want to be a criminal justice guy myself, I'm just going to walk into court and sit up there and, yeah, she's going, it ain't going to happen, is it? You don't, oh, I don't think so, she said. So what do you got to have? You got to have the right curriculum. You got to have the right what? Motive and objective. You got to have what? The backing of God. And then that'll happen. He's going to equip you for the battle. I want to read this right here. We haven't read this before. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. I'm reading Paul. Because if you stop right here, it would seem contrary to what Paul's been talking about. But he continues on. He, in parentheses, for the weapons of our warfare, not the weapons of our picnic. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Every one of us has got a strong part in our body, in our psyche, that we need to get tore down. Every one of us has something that it stops us. So there's weapons of our warfare that are not carnal. They're spiritual, and they pull down those strongholds. And that's what I'm trying to get us to do. Pull those strongholds down. Let God do it in your life. Let Him pull them down. Because you know what? When He pulls down a wall, Jericho, they would stand up on that wall of Jericho and they'd go, this wall's 14 feet thick. We run chariot races around this thing. And y'all, I can't even see you down there. What do you mean you're going to destroy this wall? What do you mean you're going to destroy my city of Jericho? We got walls so thick you can't even, you couldn't bore your way through it. And what happened? God showed them that their defenses were not brick and mortar. It was a bunch of earthen vessels standing outside that was the chosen people of God. And they hollered and screamed and shouted victory, and the walls fell down. So see, Joshua and them didn't have to have the battering rams, and they didn't have to go get the climbing gear, and they didn't have to go one piece at a time. No, they just said, God said, hey, if you'll do this, then things will fall. Right. Same way with us, folks. So how's this going to happen? Here we go right here. Casting down imaginations. Memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. That's part of our five senses in the spirit realm, right? Casting down imaginations. Well, I imagine, I wonder what. God has never sat one day and said, I wonder how it's going to happen if I do it this way. He knew it was going to happen. You say, well, I can't, that we're not God. Well, you got God in you. Well, maybe some of you do and some of you don't. Casting down imagination and look, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Now look, as against the knowledge of God, there's going to be competition or there's going to be someone always. Paul always had an adversary. Demas, Philetus and Hymenaeus, seven sons of Sceva, the woman sorcerer, the coppersmith. He always had somebody that was following along and trying to mess up his campaign, in other words. So you're going to have them too. They're probably not Philetus and Hymenaeus, but they may be whatever you want to call them. But cast down that imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Look, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The power of your thought. Think on these things. Look, and having in a readiness, not having to go find it, not having to call the pastor. I know there's times we have to call others to get help and power and to talk about things, but you need to start standing on your own two feet. I believe Brother Dale's taught us enough that we don't have to come crying to the pastor all the time. Handle it yourself. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, here's the key, when your obedience is fulfilled. Because if you're disobedient, how can you cast out something that's disobedient? Brother Branham, prophet of God, I would say the most obedient person since Christ Jesus on the face of the earth. Would you not say that? He tells a little white lie. Actually, he tells the truth. But he said it was a little white lie afterwards. He said, tell him I'm not here. Run outside. Now, what happened when he went? He had a leading to go pray for that child, right? Come pray for him, Brother Brown is sick. You know, okay, I'll be there in a second. He gets over to the house. What does he do? Gets ready to put his hands on the baby. And God says, take your dirty hands off that child. How can you revenge all disobedience when your obedience is not fulfilled? So what did he do? He went back and made it right. Then he come and prayed, and what did God do? His obedience was fulfilled, so then God honored what he said. That's why I tell you, when I don't pray for people, well, I used to sit over there, but I sit over here now. But when I used to sit out there, I'd raise my hand and I'd say, God, don't let me. Because the preacher that's praying, he's praying the prayer. He's connected with them, right? The anointing's there. And all of us need to be praying. But Brother Brown said, if one unconfessed sin in the congregation can make what? The whole congregation fail. It can keep somebody from getting their healing. So I say, God, you got a brother praying. I don't need to know what it is. And I'm not going to diligently pray for what they're praying for. You say, well, boy, that's kind of strange. No, you better make sure you're right first. So I say, God, if there's anything in my heart, anything I did against you or anybody else, please forgive me so that I won't hinder that person getting their healing. When your obedience is fulfilled, having in readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. I like that. That's why we should pray before we come to church. That's why we should pray before we come in the door. That's why we have a time of prayer. Or are you thinking about tomorrow's work? Are you thinking about something else? There's your hindrance that we're not getting what we should be getting. And I've done it too, and we all have. But come in, the Bible says, having a pure mind. What? A renewing of your mind. I know what in the world we get all muddled up. When you're not out of church, I don't know about y'all, but if I miss a service, I don't feel good. One service, I just don't feel good. I don't feel. It's like Brother Luis was saying in the back then, mind if I tell him? It's just not the same without me. It's not the same without Brother Dale. It's not the same when some of the pieces of the puzzle are missing. It's just not the same. But boy, when you get them all together, it's a powerful army. 2 Peter says this, and we'll close right here. He says, according to his divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We're going to start into the virtues starting on next Sunday. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped. Stronghold's been pulled down. Hey, I'll promise you one thing. If you've been behind bars all your life, and somebody walks in and smashes the wall of the prison down, you're going to go, no, I think I'll just stay right here. Oh, I kind of like it here. I like this slop that they feed me in this bed that, you know, in a toilet over in the corner. I love it. I just absolutely love it. That's what we do to try to get the world out of us. Oh, I think I like that. I think I'll keep it. No, when God pulls the wall down, walk out. Amen. Don't walk out, run out. Amen. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, so we've got something besides this. Because Peter on the day of Pentecost got the Holy Ghost. But he had a besides this moment. When he was at the gate beautiful and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. That was his besides this moment. You and I start needing to have besides this moment. Listen, we're Christians. We do the right thing. Wait a minute. When your obedience is fulfilled, God's going to give you the desire of your heart. And this is how to do it. And besides this, giving all diligence or haste or earnestness. Earnestness in accomplishing or striving after anything. Interest in oneself most earnestly. Add to your faith. So we're adding now that faith that was a faith once delivered to the saints. Well, it took a prophet of God in the end time to what? Tie up the loose ends. What was the loose ends? The doctrines that had accumulated by the devil through the church, through the bride. Hello, somebody. Through the bride. But God said, I can't take that no more because these people are going to have to be me. Come back in flesh again. And if I didn't have a false doctrine, they can't have a false doctrine. So Baptist, you can't have it. Because you got a Trinitarian doctrine that I can't. I can wink at it. I can save you. Come on, somebody. I can save you, but I can't make you a adopted son and daughter of God because you have power without character. Right. But power with character. It's fit to change a body. It's fit to bring the dead saints out of the ground. That's what the difference is. God winked at them because he knew the devil was going to get in. Didn't God write the Bible? He's the one that said you've left your first love. He's the one that said you've took on a name that's not mine. He's the one that said spoke there in Revelation. Remember? That's the only book that Jesus spoke directly to to John, right? He was telling John, this is what my church is going to look like. And then he comes to a prophet in the end time. And he shows him a vision of the most horrible church in the world. But it was a church. Half naked, twisting, right? He said, oh my God, is this what my message has brought? But then remember the preview of the bride. Which she walked right. She talked right. She dressed right. And she didn't go down, she went up. Amen? That's it. Amen? So we got to add to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. That word add means minister nourishment. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Minister nourishment. Listen, we'll read this and we'll close. Musicians, come on. A person of virtue makes a progression from knowing what is right to doing what is right. We don't need a lot of knowers. We need a lot of doers. He or she intentionally chooses what to say, do, and value, reaching beyond the good toward the best. In every situation, a virtuous person knows that they have an opportunity to honor the Lord and reflect Him to others. That should be our desire. Why do we come to church for? Just see each other? See what the next person is going to wear? See if we who we can talk about? 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Let's stand. The Bible says, study to show thyself. He didn't say, preacher, study to show. It says, you study. Amen. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. A workman. Somebody that goes to work. Not sorry and lazy. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. In other words, it's going to take you away from God. Away from God. And their word, look, will eat as doth a canker. And it, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth. Now Paul preached them the truth. But concerning the truth have erred, error, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Wow. When I read that, I was like, wow. Let's take it back. Take it back 2,000 years. We got a church service going on. Philetus and Hymenaeus are preaching Paul's doctrine. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth, Paul preached them the truth. But what did they do? Have erred. Saying that the resurrection is past already. What? And overthrow the faith of some. Totally take them out of the picture. Totally take that foundation of faith away from them. By false doctrine. That's why the prophet of God had to come and preach the truth. So now we have something to what? Something to rely on. I rely on this message. If it's not right, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? Find me somebody. Find me somewhere. Paul says right here real quick. Here's a prophet. Here's a guy that writes 80% of the Bible, of the New Testament. Okay, Paul. Really, you know, one of them double thumbs up like y'all do when you send messages. It's not just one thumbs up. It's like two or even three or four or five and a couple of smiley faces and praying hands. So anyway, we've become emoji crazy. Yeah, we have. Don't look at me like that. We send emojis for everything. Happy ones, sad ones, crying ones. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. This is Paul talking. Everybody with me here? Just a minute. That's Paul talking. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. I'm going to explain that in just a second. But what I hate. But what I hate. That I do. I hate it, but I do it anyway. And this is a church age messenger. Did I ever tell you all that? And he wrote 80% of the New Testament, and he was a prophet of God. Okay. If then I do that which I would not, or should not, I consent unto the law that is good. Accepting false doctrine, accepting false teaching. It's good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but he's let sin dwell in and take over. Amen. All right? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, not his flesh, in his flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He's talking about memory, reason, conscience, affection, and imagination. Because his soul, at that time, as he's writing the Bible, has got to be born again. God didn't write the Bible with sinners. He wrote them with people with a new birth. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform. But how? This is the prophet.
to perform that which is good,
I find not.
Yep. Wow. For the good that I would,
I do not. In other words, he's warring against himself. The things I want to do in my inner man, my soul, I don't do it because it goes through that memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination, and turns around and comes back this way. A prophet wrote 80% of the... Okay. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil, which I would not, that I do. He's honest. He's being honest with us and with himself. Look, now if I do that, I would not. It's no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, he's not sinning in his soul. He's a born-again believer. He has the Spirit of God in his soul. He's talking about his spirit realm, memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. Because you know what? When Paul laid his head down, he heard those Christians scream that he put in the lion's den. I believe when Paul got up, he got up looking out to Rome. When he went to Rome and he'd see there that Colosseum, and he said, I put people in there that now follow me. I persecuted these people. I made them blaspheme. But sin that dwelleth in me, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present. For I delight in the law of God after the inward guy. The inward man. One more time right here. Just get a song ready. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, watch, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then when the mind, with the mind, look, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. Remember, he's talking about renewing your mind. What he's doing is he's letting that soul come up to the mind. Come up. I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. That's a church age messenger. That's a man that truly was a born-again believer and had the virtues working in his life, but he still had problems. He still had issues. Oh, wretched man that I am. But you know what? He had to overcome that. He overcame that because he had faith. He said, you'll be judged by what I say. He must have thought pretty good. Not himself, but what was inside of him was what was talking. Right. We got to understand, when Brother Branham spoke, that was God speaking to us. Now, not all the other, the life things, but the doctrine. That was God speaking to us. That was a man moving himself out of the way so much, he said, I had to go back and listen to the tape to see what I said. Boy, that's pretty good. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Because this death is starting in here. Your death starts inside. It don't start here. Oh, yeah, this looks older, and it gets older because of sin. But what the death in you starts inside and works its way out. Let's sing a song. God bless you. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There's only two things in your soul, folks, and that's faith or doubt. One or the other. There's no in between. Believe God. Believe what he said. Why would we come to church if we didn't believe what God said? All right, so believe what he said. Let's sing. Me,
that I might become him by grace.
It's all grace.
Oh, he became me that I might become him by grace.
Why? Because he took my place.
Took my place so that
was his plan was to defeat the devil and
in human flesh. And he's defeating it through your human flesh.
Oh, he became me that I might become him by grace. Oh, he became me that I might become him by grace. Oh, he took my place so that I through his love could take him.
Think about that.
Oh, he became me that I might become him by grace.
Listen, let's don't let the devil beat us up. We're the bride. We're the chosen. And if we intentionally do the right things, he's got to come on the scene. He's got to. He's got to reveal his word to you. He's got, Brother Brown said one time, he said, if God doesn't do it the same way every time, said you can go to God and say, look, God, you're a liar. You lied right here. That's pretty strong. He said, but no, don't worry. He's not going to be a liar. That's why I can depend that man might lie to you, but God will never lie to you. Satan will lie to you every time his mouth's moving. Amen?
Oh, and he became me that I might become him by grace.
See, if it wasn't for grace, Paul couldn't write what he wrote that I read y'all. There's no way without grace he could have wrote that. Because you know what? He was condemned to die. He persecuted Christians. He made Christians die. But God said, I'm going to use you. Because you got a zeal that's more than most other people's got. He said, I'm going to turn that zeal and I'm going to put it toward me. But Paul still had that human part of him that said, hey, you did this. You did that. Just like the devil doesn't do that to you, pray for me. He does it to me all the time. You did this. You did that. You can't. There's not a place in the Bible God says you can't. He says you can if you'll believe me. That's what I want us to take with us tonight. Believe what he said. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoy your time with your family. Remember to give thanks first for your salvation. And then give thanks that your family is right there with you. There's a lot of people not going to have their family there. Some passed on. Some are not going to be there. So you just thank God that he's always going to be there. He's always going to be on time. He's never late. He's always going to be there for you if you'll ask him. God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Have a good Thanksgiving, like I said. Enjoy your time. Be careful on the highways. Be careful on the eating and all that. Just be careful. Bless your food and have a good time of Thanksgiving. And we'll be back here on Sunday, Lord willing. And just pray for the ones that are sick. COVID's going around again. We had a funeral the other day. Dad's sister-in-law died, and somebody come in and got COVID, and he's give it to a bunch of people. So you just pray for Mom and Dad, Terrence and Lisa, some of the ones were there. And just pray that thing don't keep going, okay? It's just the devil. We know that. But you know, we got one greater. Amen? So let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you, Lord. Truly, we should be thankful every day of our life. As we get up in the morning, we should say, thank you, Lord, for even me be able to stand on my own two feet. Because many a people did not make it through the night. Father, we pray, Lord, that you'll bless this group of people. That you'll bless them with strength of faith. That they'll believe you, Lord. Not put their faith in a man, but just in Jesus Christ. Not a man on earth. Man on earth will do things wrong and lie. But you never told a lie in your life. You never said a wrong thing in your life, Lord. And we depend on that. Thank you, Father, for all the things you've given us. Thank you for this wonderful church, Lord. You've given us a wonderful building. You give us a wonderful pastor all those years. You give us a wonderful ministry. You give us wonderful song leaders, musicians, deacons, elders. Lord, I thank you for all these things. And I pray that we never forget, Lord, that you are the reason for all this. The reason we are here is because of you. And Lord, I thank you for the people that are here, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you'll keep them safe on the highways. As we come back together, be with June, Lord, she's coming back there Thursday, and different ones that are traveling back and forth, that you'll bless them, Lord, and keep them. We pray that you just be with Brother Dale, Lord, and strengthen him, keep him strong. The different ones that are sick, Brother Mike, different ones, Lord, that we think about. Father, I ask a special blessing on them. We ask, Lord, that you would just bless the, like I said before, the foreign fields. We don't pray enough for them, but I pray that you'd give them special fruit for their labor, Lord. They're doing a wonderful job out there in the world, Lord, and I pray that you'd be with them, Father. Just be with the pastors around the country, Lord. Be with the bride of Jesus Christ, Lord, because we're precious to you, Lord. And you're so precious to us because you're our life. You're our joy. You're our peace, Lord. I pray that you just forgive us of our sins and many mistakes that we make against you, Lord. Let this truly be a wonderful Thanksgiving, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Grace. Oh, he became.